Well, greetings, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher. I'm Bob Davis, and we're glad you're with us today. If you have a Bible question or some troublesome life issue you'd like to discuss, we'd love to hear about it right now and take you into the Word of God for the answer and the solution in the person of Jesus Christ and walking in His life every day. The lines are open for you right now at 844-322-2742, and that, of course, good in the U.S. and Canada. 844-322-2742. Call now because it's Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, we do have open lines right now at 844-322-2742. We would love to hear from you on today's broadcast. This is going to be a great program. We're going to dive into some really practical subjects. We're going to answer the question, what is the flesh? We're going to take a look at Matthew 7 when Jesus says, depart from me, I never knew you, and ask what that really means. So these are very practical issues. But before we get into all of that, I want to talk a little bit about this forgiveness that we have in Christ Jesus. You may be saying, or may know people who have said this, I know God has forgiven me, but I'm having a hard time forgiving myself. And we're struggling. We meet people who struggle with letting go of their past mistakes, of coming to that point where they can experience freedom from the past and enjoy today. So how do we forgive ourselves? Well, I think we have to go back to the finished work of Jesus Christ. We have to recognize that Jesus has already done something with our sins, and certainly our standards are not higher than His. So if He's forgiven our sins, then we ought to forgive ourselves. C.S. Lewis put it this way, and I love this, I think if God forgives us, we must forgive ourselves. It's just that simple. But this is a huge, huge issue. And one of the reasons it's a huge issue, because it really gets down to our identity in Christ. We came into this world identified as sinners, and we have specific sins that really feed in to that identity, something that we've done in the past. And then we come to Christ, and we recognize that He died for our sins, but we still hang on to that old identity. And that's why we keep bringing the past into our present and then project it out there to the future. So if we really want to let go of the past, we have to recognize that we have a brand new identity in Jesus Christ, that we have been made righteous in Him by grace. That is the good news of this gospel. And so God doesn't see us as sinners. He saw us as sinners, and then He saved us by grace through faith in Jesus, and then He gave us a brand new identity, and that identity is child of God. So when we begin to see ourselves as children of God, then we can let go of the past. We can say to Jesus, thank you that you died for that sin, and thank you that you gave me a new identity, that you no longer see me as sinner, but you see me as a child of God. And when we get to that point, boy, freedom becomes ours, and we can really enjoy this relationship that we have with God by faith in Jesus Christ. So have you struggled with that issue? Have you struggled with forgiving yourself over something that you did in the past? Well, recognize today that Christ has already done something about that sin. He died in your place. He took that sin upon Himself, and in exchange, He gave you His righteousness. When you begin to say thank you for the righteousness that you now have in Christ Jesus, that's the start of letting go of your past. Well, this is Basic Gospel. I'm Bob Christopher. We're so glad that you've joined us as well. We have several open lines available at 844-322-2742. 844-322-2742 is the number. We invite you to call right now. I do want to remind you that we have a great resource that we want to put in your hands this month. It is a 6-message teaching series, audio series, entitled It Is Finished. Jesus' final words on the cross were those three words, it is finished. He completed the task that God the Father sent Him to do. He took away your sins once and for all. So he finished his work. We want you through this series to finalize the cross in your life as well. Come to that place where you can rest in the fact that all of your sins have been taken care of once and for all by the finished work of Jesus Christ. To get your copy, to request your copy, go to basicgospel.net. That's basicgospel.net, and click on the donate button and just follow all the instructions. You'll check a box that says send me. It is finished, and we'll get that into your hands as quickly as possible. This is a fantastic resource, a valuable resource that will help open up a door as far as your life is concerned to experience the fullness of Christ's life in and through you. So it's that important. It's that crucial. So order your copy today. It is finished at basicgospel.net. Well, as promised, we're going to answer a question today that came to us a number of days ago from one of our YouTube listeners, Paul, and he asked this question, what is the flesh? And he follows up with this, are we in the flesh? Is the flesh sinful? Or is it the power of the sin or power of sin that makes us sin? Temptation. So all of these are great questions, and these really tie into our subject for the month on forgiveness. So the first question that he asked is this, what is the flesh? Well, the flesh, the Greek word for flesh is sarx, and its meaning is simply this. It is the seat of carnal appetites and desires, of sinful passions and affections, whether physical or moral. So when we were lost, when we were dead in trespasses and sins, we lived to gratify the desires of the flesh. We had the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life. That was our world system. That was our modus operandi. That's how we conducted ourselves as lost people. We lived to gratify the desires of the flesh. And we did so at the expense of others. So these desires of the flesh, they run contrary to God. They are self-centered. They're not in line with the good news of Jesus Christ. And they have no regard for other people and their interest and their concerns. They're selfish. They're selfish desires. So that's what the flesh is, and that's what we lived in when we were lost. We were in the flesh. But when we come to Christ Jesus, when we believe the good news, his death, his burial, his resurrection, something happens to us. We move, so to speak. We were in the flesh. God lifts us out of that realm, and he places us in the Spirit. And God sends his Spirit to take up residence in us. So we are no longer in the flesh, but we are in the Spirit. So that's where we live. That's our realm of existence as believers in Christ Jesus. But we're in the Spirit, but we're still housed in a body of flesh. And that's what that word sarx can mean as well, just this physical body. Well, the scripture tells us that within the members of this physical body, sin dwells, and we have the desires of the flesh still there. So that old way of life is still imprinted in the members of this body that we live our lives through. And that flesh, when it meets with worldly temptations, the ways of this world, when it meets with rules and regulations that prohibit fleshly desires, those become intense inside of us, and they war against our souls. But that flesh that we live in, that's not us. We have a brand new identity. It's called child of God. We have a new nature. We're in the Spirit, and our affections are now toward Jesus Christ. So these fleshly desires are now foreign to us as children of God, but they're still there. They still tug at our hearts. They still tug at our minds. And sometimes we give in to those fleshly desires. But when we do, we understand that it doesn't fit with who we are as children of God. So are we in the flesh as believers in Christ? Absolutely not. We are in the Spirit. Paul talks about that in Romans chapter 8 and verse 9. He simply says that we are no longer in the flesh, but we are in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of Christ lives in us. And if the Spirit of Christ does not live in us, then we do not belong to Christ. So the fact that God's Spirit lives in us is proof positive that we are no longer in the flesh, but in the Spirit. But as children of God who live life in the Spirit, we still live in this world that is filled with temptations. We still have a body of flesh hanging on us, and within that flesh are those old fleshly desires, those old patterns that we used to live through before we were saved, and sometimes they tug at us. But that's not us. We're children of God, alive in Christ, Christ alive in us, and we experience that in the realm of the Spirit. So, Paul, I hope that helps, and we certainly appreciate that great question. And this is Basic Gospel. 844-322-2742 is the number. 844-322-2742 is the number. Now, we had this question that came in from Facebook from Bob yesterday, and he says this: I am 60 years old. I was saved at 14 years of age. I got away from the Lord and did a lot of sinful things through the years. I read that the Lord says to people who thought they were saved that they will be judged, and God will say to them, depart from me. Now, he says, I turned back to the Lord 4 months ago, and he's wondering this: do I have to be saved again? Well, Bob, that is a great question. And the answer to that question is no. If you were saved at 14 years of age, then you are saved forever. And what that means is this, that you crossed over from death to life at the age of 14. And you were given a new identity. God sent the Spirit to take up residence in you. And he sealed you and marked you as one of his very own. So, no, you don't need to be saved again. Why? Because you were saved one time, and when Jesus saved you, he saved you completely, and he saved you forever. Now, why did you kind of go away from the Lord and do a lot of sinful things? Well, same reason that I did. I came to Christ when I was 13 years of age, but when that happened, I knew something real had happened inside of me, but I wasn't sure how to process all of that. And I didn't know exactly what that meant for me on a day-to-day basis. I didn't know how to live as a believer in Christ Jesus. So I tried my best to live as a Christian. I tried my best to be God's guy through human effort and through obedience to rules and regulations. And I just didn't have what it took to make that happen. My human effort was not enough to overcome the temptations that I experienced in life, and my human effort wasn't enough to overcome the desires of the flesh. So I constantly gave in to the temptations of the world. I constantly gave in to the desires of the flesh. And every time I did, I had this enormous sense of guilt. And I wondered, Lord, how in the world can I break free? How in the world can I live as a victorious Christian? And then 8 or 9 years later, I discovered some truth. I discovered the way of grace. I discovered that Christianity is not a life of human effort. It is a life of faith in Jesus Christ. It is a life that is authored by grace, and it's experienced by faith in Jesus. And when I discovered that, I let go of human effort. I died to those rules and those regulations, and I started experiencing victory over the temptations of the world. I started experience victory over the desires of the flesh. I wasn't trying to clean up the flesh. I wasn't trying to fight the flesh. I was simply walking by the Spirit. Now, that's what God calls all of us to. So, Bob, I'm thinking that your life from the age of 14 and until just recently, that you were trying to overcome the desires of the flesh, overcome the temptations of this world through human effort. Well, hopefully you've come to that point and said, hey, that's not going to work for me. As Paul said in Colossians 2, do not taste, do not touch, do not handle, does not work. They do not help in rendering the desires of the flesh powerless in our lives. So for that to happen, we need to walk in the Spirit. So, Bob, you do not have to be saved again. And no, as a believer in Christ, you're never going to hear from Jesus the words, depart from me, for I never knew you. Those words are reserved for lost people and lost people alone. They are reserved for the pretenders, not for the genuine believers in Christ Jesus. In Matthew chapter 7, Jesus is talking about false prophets. He's talking about people who go out and do things in the name of Jesus, but they are relying upon their works in the name of Jesus as their means for salvation. They're going to say to Jesus, look at all the things that I did. They're not going to reflect on all the things that Jesus did for them. So their case, their argument before Jesus is going to be their works. And their works aren't going to cut it. Their works are as filthy rags as far as righteousness is concerned. There's only one place for us to experience righteousness, and that is in Christ. He is our wisdom. He is our righteousness. So if we're going to be saved, we have to depend upon Jesus, depend upon his death, his burial, his resurrection. Those who are pretenders, those who are wannabes, they're not depending upon Jesus Christ. They're depending upon their own works. And when they stand before Jesus, they could be as religious as you could possibly imagine. They could do great things in the name of Christ. But if it's their works that they're depending upon, they're going to hear the words from Jesus, depart from me, for I never knew you. And we see that again in Matthew chapter 25. And Jesus is saying there, I've come and I'm going to separate the sheep from the goats. And the goats, he's going to say, depart from me. And the reason he's going to say, depart from me, because they were never believers in Jesus Christ. So that's the judgment. Their judgment is this: they rejected the offer of life that was made available. So, Bob, you haven't rejected the offer of life. You received his life when you were 14 years old. So rejoice in the fact that you've been made alive together with Christ. Rejoice in the fact that you have been sealed by the Holy Spirit, that you have been marked out as someone who belongs to the Lord, and look forward with great hope, knowing that when you're absent from the body, you're going to be present with the Lord. So salvation is a free gift. It is by grace through faith in Jesus. It is not from works. There's nothing that we can do to earn salvation. So anyone relying upon their works, they're going to hear the words, depart from me, I never knew you. Now, yesterday we addressed that question from Mary Jo about Matthew 25, verse 41, where Jesus divides between the sheep and the goats. And we had several people call us and say, hey, you taught that all wrong. You're just a heretic. You're a false prophet. We had, as a matter of fact, this caller who said this.
To obey Jesus' words, you'll go to heaven. If you disobey his words, you're going to hell.
So is that true? If we obey Jesus' words, we're going to go to heaven. If we disobey, we're going to go to hell. Well, it's true in this sense. If we obey his words to believe in him, and when we believe in him, we'll have everlasting life, then that's true. Jesus says to believe. The work of the ministry is to believe in him. We're saved by grace through faith. It's all about believing that Jesus is the Christ, and believing that he is the Christ, we receive life, eternal life, in his name. That's what he said. He has the words to eternal life. Now, if we don't believe, if we don't receive him, then we're going to remain dead in our sins. So that's the faith. By grace, Jesus expressed the grace of God toward us through his death, burial, and resurrection. We receive that grace through faith. And when that happens, we're saved. We're made alive. We're born again through faith in Jesus Christ. Anyone who is relying upon their obedience to the law, their obedience to a set of commandments other than believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, they're not going to experience salvation. Why? Because they can't save themselves through their obedience to the law. Jesus is our Savior, and he came into this world to save sinners. And when we respond to him by faith, guess what happens? We are saved, and we are saved forever. So let's not put out any of this nonsense that we can be saved by our good works, we can be saved by our obedience to the commandments. No one is going to be declared righteous through obedience to the law. No one. And when the Word of God says no one, it means absolutely no one. The only way that we're going to be declared righteous in the sight of God is through faith in Jesus Christ. And when we respond to him, we receive the gift of righteousness, the gift of forgiveness, the gift of life, a new identity, a salvation that is forever, and a salvation that can never be taken away from us. Why? Because it was Jesus's to give, and when he gives it to us forever. So I hope this is helpful to us. I hope that we will really let our roots sink deep into the grace of God, that we will really rest in the fact that Jesus did everything, that Jesus is sufficient, that there's nothing that we can do to add to what Jesus accomplished for us 2,000 years ago. That is why this gospel is such good news. That's why it's fresh water for a parched soul. That's why it's life. Why? Because it's Jesus. So if we want to know what this good news is all about, we have to rest in the fact that it is by grace through faith in Jesus and in Jesus alone. Well, this has been Basic Gospel. My name is Bob Christopher. Thank you so much for joining us. Sorry to Anthony and Andrew. Please call back tomorrow. We would like to address your important questions. So we encourage you to call back early in tomorrow's program. I do want to remind our listeners about our resource this month. It is a resource entitled It Is Finished. So if you're struggling with letting go of the past, trying to forgive yourself, this is a resource that will help you let go of the past and go free in Christ today. If you're struggling with the desires of the flesh, learning how to overcome the temptations of this world, this is a resource that will anchor you into the finished work of Jesus Christ and your identity in him. If you're struggling with what salvation is, this is a resource that will anchor you into the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We want to put a copy in your hands. It's available to you for a gift this month, The Basic Gospel. Just go to basicgospel.net and click the donate button. Well, this is Basic Gospel. We'll see you again tomorrow for another edition.